Chapter 2. Lowood. November, December, and half of January soon passed. On the 15th day of the month, at about 9 o'clock in the morning, a carriage arrived at Gateshead Hall. The doorbell rang loudly, and a visitor was admitted. Suddenly, Bessie came running into the nursery. I was wanted downstairs in the drawing room, where Mrs. Reed was with the visitor. Bessie quickly made me look as presentable as possible, and then hurried me downstairs. "Who could want to see me?" I asked myself as I entered the drawing room. I saw Mrs. Reed seated by the fire. She made a signal for me to approach her. Sitting in a chair near her was a man dressed entirely in black. "This is the little girl I wrote to you about, Mr. Brocklehurst," said Mrs. Reed. The man rose. He was very tall and looked down at me with curious eyes. "Your name, little girl?" he said sternly.
"Jane Eyre, sir."
"Mr. Brocklehurst, I believe I said in the letter which I wrote you that this little girl, should you admit her into Lowood School, should be watched with a strict eye. I wish her to be brought up to be useful and to be kept humble. As for the vacations, she will spend them always at Lowood." "Of course, Mrs. Reed," said Mr. Brocklehurst. "She will be watched. I will speak with Miss Temple and the other teachers." "I will send her then as soon as possible. I assure you, sir, I feel anxious to be relieved of a responsibility that was becoming too irritating."
"No doubt, madam. Now, I wish you a good morning. I will send Miss Temple notice that she is to expect a new girl soon. Goodbye."
The next few days passed quickly, and by the morning of January 19th, I was up at dawn, dressed, and ready to leave for Lowood School. Bessie helped me get ready and took me down the road to the coach which was to take me to the school. I preferred Bessie to anyone else at Gateshead Hall, so I felt sad to say goodbye to her. She had been kind to me since my fit in the Red Room, and now she was the only one from the house seeing me off on my new journey. I hugged her as the porter loaded my trunk into the coach, kissed her many times on the cheek, and soon I myself was lifted into a seat. The coach then slowly rolled away from Gateshead Hall. I don't remember much of the journey, but we traveled over many miles of roads and passed through several towns. At some point, I nodded off to sleep. I had not been asleep for very long when the coach suddenly stopped. The door was opened, and a person asked for me. I was lifted out of the vehicle, my trunk was passed down, and the coach drove away. I was led by a servant into a room with a fire. I warmed my hands near the flames and looked around. After a few minutes, the door opened and a tall lady entered the room. She had dark hair, dark eyes, and pale skin. She was followed by another lady carrying a candle. "The child is very young to be sent alone," said the tall lady to the other. "She had better be put to bed soon." She then put her hand on my shoulder. "Are you tired?"
"A little, ma'am," I replied.
"And hungry too, no doubt. Let her have something to eat before she goes back to bed, Miss Miller," said the tall lady.
The tall lady, whom I later came to know as Miss Temple, the superintendent of the school, soon left me in the care of Miss Miller. I was too tired to eat, and so I was taken into a room full of long rows of beds where all the girls slept. Exhausted from my long journey, I quickly fell asleep. The night passed quickly, and before I knew it, daylight had come, and the girls were up and getting dressed. I also rose out of bed and got dressed as well as I could, for it was very cold. A bell soon rang, and the girls now formed two lines down the stairs to the schoolroom. My first day at Lowood is difficult to remember. First prayers, then a breakfast of burnt porridge, which hardly anyone could eat, followed by lessons until lunch. In the afternoon, we were led out into the garden for an hour of fresh air. I shivered with cold and looked around me at the other girls. Some were playing, others were standing close together to stay warm. I had not yet spoken to anyone, and no one had taken notice of me. I leaned against a wall of the building and tried to forget about the cold and the hunger that I felt. My first term at Lowood seemed to go on forever. It consisted of a constant struggle with difficulties in getting used to new rules and tasks.
During January, February, and part of March, the deep snow prevented us from going out beyond the garden walls. We had to pass an hour every day in the open air within the garden, but our clothing was insufficient to protect us from the severe cold. We had no boots, no gloves, and only thin coats to wear. The small supply of food was also upsetting and was never enough to satisfy the hunger of growing children. In spite of everything, as the days passed, I began to feel more at home at Lowood. I resolved to get through every difficulty. I worked hard, and in a few weeks I was promoted to a higher class. In less than 2 months, I was allowed to start learning French and drawing. The difficulties at Lowood eased over time. Spring came, and we could now enjoy the time required to spend in the garden. By May, Lowood became all green and full of flowers. However, just as nature was becoming more alive, the students at Lowood were becoming ill. Typhus had broken out, and part of the school was turned into a hospital. 45 girls out of 80 lay ill at one time. Classes were broken up and rules were relaxed. Those who didn't get sick, including me, were allowed to get as much exercise as needed in order to keep us in good health. We wandered about the woods around the school, enjoying the season from morning until night. The typhus fever eventually disappeared from Lowood, but not before the number of its victims had drawn public attention to the school. Inquiries were made, and the unhealthy nature of the school's site, the poor quantity and quality of the food, and the students' inadequate clothing and accommodations were all discovered. As a result, several wealthy and generous individuals in the county donated the money necessary for a better building, and new management took over the school. Lowood, now improved, became a truly useful and excellent school. I remained at the school for 8 years. For 6 years I was a student, and for 2 years I was a teacher. During these 8 years, I was not unhappy. I gained an excellent education and a desire to excel in everything I did. Miss Temple, through all the changes at Lowood, continued to be its superintendent. She was not only a teacher to me, but also a true friend. She eventually married and moved with her husband to another county. From the day Miss Temple left the school, I was no longer the same. She had made it a home for me, but now everything felt different. After 8 years at the school, and with no real experience of the outside world, all I knew had to do with school duties, habits, and rules. Suddenly, I felt tired of these routines, and one afternoon, I decided that I would make a change. I didn't know what I would do next, since all I knew was Lowood. How does a person find a new place? I wondered. I thought about what I would do for many days. Then I finally made up my mind to advertise in the local newspaper for a position as a governess. The next morning, I had my advertisement written, and I included with it a letter to the editor of the newspaper. That afternoon, I took the letter to the post office. My advertisement would run in the paper that week, and the following week, I would check back in at the post office to see if anyone had replied to me. The week seemed very long, but finally the day arrived when I might check in at the post office for any responses to my advertisement. Only one letter was waiting for me. It was from a Mrs. Alice Fairfax, who lived at Thornfield Hall near Millcote. There was one student, according to Mrs. Fairfax, a girl under 10 years old, who needed a teacher. Mrs. Fairfax requested my references to be sent to her as soon as possible. In about a month, I had received my references. I forwarded them to Mrs. Fairfax and soon after got the lady's reply. She stated that she was satisfied and fixed a date in 2 weeks when I would start my position of governess at Thornfield Hall. I now occupied myself with preparations, and the fortnight passed quickly. The night before I was meant to leave Lowood, I was too excited to sleep. I was wandering around like a troubled spirit when a servant came to tell me there was someone who wanted to see me. I thought it must be the driver who was to take my trunk to Millcote. I ran downstairs, and as I passed the teacher's sitting room, someone ran out. "It's her, I'm sure," cried the person who stopped my progress and took my hand. I didn't at first recognize the woman, but her face was very familiar. In an instant, I realized who the woman was. I shouted, "Bessie! Bessie!" And in another second, I was hugging and kissing her. "Tell me everything, Bessie," I said with excitement. I hadn't heard any news from Gateshead Hall since I had left, those long 8 years ago. Bessie told me about the Reed family first, and what John, Georgina, and Eliza were doing these days. I then told her all about my life at Lowood. Bessie had found out from Mrs. Reed that I was going to a different part of the country to become a governess, so Bessie had insisted to her husband that she see me before I go. "Oh, you are quite a lady, Miss Jane. I knew you would be. Now, there was something I wanted to ask you. Have you ever heard anything from your father's relatives, the heirs?" "Never in my life," I replied. "Well, one day, nearly 7 years ago, a Mr. Eyre came to Gateshead and wanted to see you. Mrs. Reed said you were at school 50 miles off, and he seemed disappointed, for he could not stay long. He was going on a trip to a foreign country, and the ship was leaving from London in a day or two. He looked like a gentleman. I believe he was your father's brother." "What foreign country was he going to, Bessie?" "I believe he was going to Madeira, miss." I regretted missing the opportunity to meet my only living relative. Bessie and I talked about old times for a little longer, but soon it was time for her to take the coach back to Gateshead.